This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:06, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott. This week, we are pleased to have, once again, Leslie Pollard and Zach Wildgoat. This is the first for me, having two guests 2 weeks in a row. It happens. We have you both again. Last week, you were here talking about the Bone Marrow Registry Drive that's coming up on June 14th. This week, we're talking about the Summer Concert Series that's going to be right around the corner. So grab yourself a cup of coffee, pour yourself a glass of juice. Our conversation begins right after this.
Making your final arrangements in advance at Plummer Funeral Home allows you to make decisions at a time when you are thinking clearly and not under the stress that surrounds the death of a loved one. It also allows you time to consider your options and to make intelligent, informed decisions calmly and completely. And then we'll help you put them in writing so that there will be no mistake about what you really wanted. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday Talk Show. Tobin Ott here with you. Our guests this week, Leslie Pollard and Zach Weigel. And we are here to talk about the Summer Concert Series. They represent the 2000 and Beyond Committee. You guys are representing so many groups, I got to get it right here. But it's 2000 and Beyond that's bringing the Summer Concert Series to Hillsboro out at the Bluegrass Stage. And Leslie, ladies first, tell us a little bit about this year's series, because I can tell a lot of big names are on the docket this year.
Yeah, we're real excited. I know every year we say, this is the one. We're real excited, but really, this is the one. This is the third year we've had him out at the, is it the third year? Second year. Third year.
Third year. Yeah, because Johnny Cash.
I think it's the fifth year for the series, but like the third year out at the Sherwood Forest Campgrounds on the Big Bluegrass Stage. This year it's presented by Roger Jennings in Hillsboro, which we're, you know, very fortunate, and Consolidated Communications. I was real excited about the lineup. We got some big names on the some regional acts that have played, you know, all over the country, really. We're going to start off the series June 6th with a band called Clusterpluck.
I've heard of that band.
Well, they played not too long ago at the Courthouse pub uptown, but they also, me and Leslie went and watched them last year when Old Salt Union opened for them at the Hangar 9 in Carbondale, but they play a lot around the St. Louis area.
Yeah, and they're on some big-name festivals this year. I know they're playing Wakarusa, which is a big festival in Arkansas, and they play all over the country. So they're like, I think they consider themselves like a Newgrass, which is kind of a newer style.
I was going to ask what type of band
this? It's a bluegrass band. So we're real excited to be kicking it off with a bluegrass band on the bluegrass stage.
Yeah, they're actually playing Wakarusa the day after our event. They're actually leaving for Arkansas that night. But when you're speaking to their band, they feature a banjo player, a mandolin player, violin, and of course the washboard.
Yeah,
they have a girl that rocks the washboard.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's very cool. Very cool.
Okay, so we got Clusterpuck starting it off on June 6th, which will be here a couple weeks almost. Mm-hmm. And then we move on. There's two of them in July, if you want to explain that, go ahead.
Yeah, we're actually giving a bonus to all our concert lovers out there. The Chamber of Commerce has taken over the biathlon this year, and part of that agreement was to also take on the entertainment, which I was ecstatic about because that's my favorite part. So last year we had a band called Old Salt Union on the series. They were probably a big hit. I know it rained, unfortunately, so they didn't get to play on the big stage. We had it inside the Moose, and it was packed. So we've had a lot of people say, when are you going to bring them back? And we're real excited to be able to catch these guys again. They've really hit it big within the past year. So the only difference between this concert and the other ones is they're actually going to play at what we call what the city calls the 4th of July Pavilion. Mm-hmm. So there's a celebration out there every year. And so there'll still be food vendors and all that good stuff, but they will play at the Pavilion and their bluegrass as well.
You mentioned the 4th of July scenario. That's got to be tough to book a band like that, because you're dealing with a lot of older residents, but you want the younger residents to come out as well. But you also have the fireworks at the selling point that would draw a lot of people to that area. That's got to be a a little bit of a challenge.
You do have to make it family friendly, and you know, something that everybody will enjoy. And who doesn't like bluegrass?
Absolutely.
It's old and new that's been asking to bring them back. I mean, a wide range that went up and saw them with the Moose, and a wide range that's wanting them back. And since we've had them last time, I mean, yeah, we were talking about how big they're going to make it. They've made it even bigger. Just was it last week? They're playing at the Pageant in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. They played Daytona 500. There.
That's a big deal right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I hear there's a few race fans that show up to that. And they were just announced that they're going to be playing this year's Lou Fest in St. Louis. They play other festivals, but this year's Lou Fest, so they're going to be sharing, you know, the stage such acts as like Outkast and Cake. I mean, it's getting pretty big for them.
Yeah, and I know that we said last year, Zach and I, you know, we kept stressing, you know, these guys are going to make it big, and mm-hmm. one day you're going to look back and say, these guys played in Hillsboro. So we're very fortunate to be able to bring them back.
Okay, and then it continues on July 11th. You've got Chicago Farmer.
Yeah, Chicago Farmer. All you folk lovers out there, if you like VH1 Storytellers, and this is the show for you, Chicago Farmer is just one-man band, and he plays a harmonica, and he plays, you know, the acoustic guitar, and he tells stories. He's actually an Illinois boy. He's from Delvin, Illinois, which is up by Bloomington.
I was going to guess Chicago, but yeah. That's all right.
Yeah,
it's a population of about 2,000 people.
Yeah, okay. He's very small town, and he's very cool. He tailors his shows to his audience, so he will plug in, you know, Hillsboro street names and Hillsboro, you know, establishments, and tells his stories, and it's very cool. He's very Bob Dylan, Ray LaMontagne kind of esque. I think, you know, everybody's going to love him, but I think a lot of the older folks will like him as well.
How can he tie in the Hillsboro street names?
Don't worry.
I was walking down Fairground trying to get the Tremont.
Something like that. Yeah, he's very good. I mean, he's, you know, talked about, you know. He's from a small town, so he talks about being, you know, from a small town. He has songs about how when he worked at the Caterpillar plant and, you know, and that kind of stuff. So it's very cool.
And that's where they got the name from, because my name is actually Cody. But when he was wanting to make it bigger, his friends was convincing him, hey, you probably need to go to a bigger city than just, you know, playing around this area. And he was going to go to Chicago, and that's why he said, hey, you know, they started calling him kind of like as a joke, like Chicago Farmer. You know, here's a farm boy coming to Chicago. And it stuck. And I would say he's probably our most seasoned artist, probably that's been around the longest, and I mean he's had 6 albums, so he's and actually, I mean, you can hear him, you know, on the jukebox right now, you know, uptown if you want.
And of course, we got to keep in mind Chicago Farmer, that will be back on the bluegrass stage.
Yeah,
this will not be
that's back on the
Old
bluegrass
Salt
stage.
Union will be on the 4th of July Point stage. Chicago Farmer will be back on the bluegrass stage.
Yep.
So just to clarify that.
Yeah.
The other one coming up August 1st, I believe it's August 1st, is the, and I'm familiar with this band because I've heard this band before, the Funky Butt Brass Band.
Yeah, Funky Butt Brass Band. Well, some of the people from here will notice a little familiarity because a couple of their members actually play in a street fighting band who played at this year's Stamp Out Cancer. But I was fortunate
enough
to see
Cancer. I've never heard of it.
Yeah. I should. Yeah, we don't probably plug that again. See if we can maybe get a few people to show up. The Funky Butt Brass Band. They've been together since about 2008, and they. I saw them open actually for The Urge at the Pageant this past year, and I was blown away. I mean, they have a sax player, a trumpet player, a trombone player, and a sousaphone player. And I have to stress, sousaphone is not a tuba. It kind of looks like one, but it's not a tuba. And they were just a whole lot of fun. For the 4th straight year, they've been named the best funk soul band by the Riverfront Times. 4 years in a row running in St. Louis, so they definitely have a big crowd there, and they've shared the stage with acts like Dr. John. I mean, they played what me and Leslie know, the Big Muddy Music Festival, Taste of St. Louis, Roots and Blues Festival down in New Orleans. They're all around. They're just a lot of fun. I mean, when I saw them and they're playing the blues, all of a sudden they busted into a medley of 3 different Prince songs, and I'm like, what is going on? Purple Rain is playing right now.
Yeah, and I think that they're one that gets the crowd all hyped up, and they're very high energy and with the New Orleans twist, so I think that's going to be
sounds like
a
this is like
a, well.
And I've seen them, this is a good dancing band basically.
Yeah, and it's something that you normally don't see around here. It's not too often that you see bands here that feature that much, well, brass.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Boat Drunks last year, the Jimmy Buffett band, where it's kind of feel good. High energy you can groove to it.
Yeah, they'll get them dancing.
All right, now it concludes on September 5th with Matt Mason. What can you tell me about this individual?
Matt Mason is the one I'm probably getting asked about the most, and that's, I mean, from Nokomis all the way to here and all around. Matt Mason has played around here. I remember last summer I went out to the winery just because I heard on a Thursday night during the summer, chance night, because I heard, oh, there's that Matt Mason guy out there playing just an acoustic show, and me and my friends went out there, and it was probably about 200 plus people out there on a Thursday just to see this guy acoustic, and I know he's sold out around here, but he just has some friends, ties in this area, but he's much bigger than that. He has put out 3 albums already, but on the CMT, Country Music, the station, they had a reality show called The Next Superstar, and he won that back in 2011.
I thought that name sounded familiar.
Yeah, yeah. He'd actually just signed on with a major label, Warner Brothers of Nashville. And also, Kurt Busch, the NASCAR driver, uses his song, Good Year for an Outlaw, as his intro music now. But he's open for Luke Bryan, Lee Bryce, Josh Thompson, Blake Shelton, Joe Diffie, and even Charlie Daniels. So this guy has shared the stage with some big name country acts, and we are pretty stoked to get him here because he averages about 180 shows a year.
That's incredible.
He plays. Yeah, he plays nonstop, constantly touring, and I think he's going to bring a pretty big crowd because, I mean, we have a lot of country fans, a lot of his fans in this area.
Mm-hmm. What's the process? You mentioned Matt just signed a major with a record deal with a major country label.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be tough to get a guy like that to come to Hillsboro, isn't it?
Well, I mean, just like, you know, we've said in the past, money talks. I mean, when you're interested in an act, you contact their agent and you say, we have this series and we want to get you here. What's it going to, you know, what's it going to cost? And then you start some negotiations from there. So, and then I think it definitely helped. And Zach helped secure this act. And I think it definitely helped that he's from this area. So that was a big plus in our.
Yeah, he has friends that he stays with around this area when he comes down. Because normally we'd have to pay for lodging for him. But mm-hmm. that's one of the ways that he fit into our budget is we didn't have to pay for him to stay anywhere because he's going to be staying actually with friends around here.
And most of the bands I'm noticing here have ties to this area, except I think Chicago Farmer is the only one I really haven't heard about. But Cluster Pucks played in this area before. The Funky Butt Brass Band has played in this area before. And you said Matt Mason's been in this area before. That helps.
It's good because not everyone, when they do play in this area, the advertising campaign that we have is normally much bigger. I mean, the Leslie got that billboard put up. And I remember I sent the picture to Matt Mason, and he was ecstatic. He's like, whoa, I'm actually on a billboard. And it's like, well, I told you were going to be on a billboard.
Chicago Farmer was the same way. You know, he was like, look, I'm on a billboard. So they're pretty excited.
So when they play some of these other venues around here, I mean, nothing against them, like they draw great crowds, but we have an advertising campaign that, you know, that starts with the radio and billboards and mm-hmm. and I mean, we or even go around with little handbills and hand those out, and all you put them on people's cars, whatever gets them there.
Let's talk a little bit about the summer concert series. I remember years past you had shuttle rides. I think they parked at 4th of July Point and you had a shuttle that took you to the bluegrass stage. Is that still the case this year?
Yeah, it is. That's the one downside to our concert series, if you really consider it a downside, I guess, if you're, you know, a little bit older. You have to park down by the pavilion, but we mm-hmm. do have shuttles that carry you back and forth. So if you can walk up the hill, great. If not, we'll have a shuttle that takes you there and brings you back.
And we do have disabled parking up around the stage. As long as you have the sticker or the little tag hanging, they'll let you through and let you park around the stage.
And of course, then during those events, you'll still have food and I guess soda, non-alcoholic beverages.
Yeah, we'll have
For sale.
Yep, pork patties and I think some brats and just little things like that. You can bring your own snacks and beverages.
As long as it's in a plastic bottle,
no,
right?
Yeah, no bottles.
No glass bottles.
Or can, I'm sorry.
Or you can bring a can, yeah. But can, no glass bottles.
No glass bottles. And
Bring a lawn chair or a blanket because, I mean, there isn't actually seating out there. I mean, you can stand. That's fine, too. Or sit in a cooler.
Yeah. And we just want to stress that it also is it is family-friendly. So, right. You know, we have lots of kids that run around out there. There's a playground out there. The kids usually play in the playground, and the parents enjoy the music. So it's a really good time.
And that's the trick. I mean, we kind of hit on this earlier. I mean, with the selection for the group, that's the trick because you do have kids. You do have individuals our age. You do have the senior citizens that will come out there. You got to appease everybody. I mean, and not everyone's going to be happy all the time.
Right.
But you got to bridge that gap somehow.
You do,
some way.
And it's a free outdoor show, so that means it has to be family friendly. You know, so you know you can't be explicit or anything like that, because people aren't. You know, if you pay right. for a ticket, that's one thing. But you know, it's a free outdoor show. I also do want to stress that we've added an hour to the series this year. So last year, in the past, it's been 7 to 9 p.m., but we've added an extra hour of music. So you're going to get 3 hours this year. It'll start at 9 o'clock, or I'm sorry, six o'clock.
Six to nine.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this is what a great way to promote the lake area, the campground area. It gives something for the campers, because I was at the city council meeting last night talking about how the campers are starting to come in, or they're already there, and that's always been a big asset to the city. But it draws people from that area out, gives them something to do. It gives the city something else to do. I mean, it just blends well.
Yeah, and like I said, this series has really grown. I mean, it used to be uptown on the plaza, and we had an okay crowd.
I remember that.
Yeah, but we just didn't feel that was the right venue for it, so we moved it. We took a chance, and the crowds have just really grown. And you know, Zach and I both have a vision of making this, you know, a big deal, and it's slowly getting there, but it's big. I mean, we draw a couple hundred people at least, you know, to these concerts, and it is the best one in the county. And
you're taking advantage of a stage that was kind of. Not it was there, but kind of forgotten a little mm-hmm. bit. What's the condition of the stage right now?
Well, the condition of the stage is, I mean, how it was before. I mean, of course, it has its bumps and bruises, mm-hmm. but I mean, it's the city does a good job of making sure that we have lights, electricity is running, that it's nice and clean around the area. I mean, yeah, it's an older stage, but I think that just kind of adds to the flavor of it. When you have some of these acts that we have, bluegrass bands, they're used to that rustic feel when they're out there, and that nice, you know, wooden stage and the acoustics of the, you know, an outdoor event. And you have the sounds of the lake right around you. I think that actually draws some of the bands around there, because when they play, they're like, this is kind of cool. Yeah. So,
and a lot of, you know, they think, oh, we're going to come into little old Hillsboro to do a show. But then when they show up and they see that's the big stage, because it really is a large stage, mm-hmm, they're impressed.
Yeah.
Proceeds that is raised from this, obviously, there's a hat that's handed out that helps pay for the band. Mm-hmm. The profits from this, that just basically supports what the 2000 and Beyond Committee does, yep. basically.
Yep, it supports 2000 and Beyond, which everything from Christmas lights downtown to we're trying to expand to get, you know, new park benches and just try to make, you know, downtown look, you know, look more inviting now that we have the new National Bank and things are starting to turn around.
They raised the bar.
Yeah.
New bank and I don't know what you're talking about. I've never noticed.
If you haven't been in there, I was fortunate enough to be able to take a tour last week, and it's extravagant.
It's nice.
Oh, it's so nice.
It's very nice.
Have you been in there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so nice.
It's very nice.
But yeah, so 2000 and Beyond just does things like that. So the Christmas lights are our main priority, because those cost a lot of money to keep on during mm-hmm. Christmas, and it's a tradition that we don't want to lose. So, because when they're gone, they're gone. So,
and that is a aspect of Hillsboro that I think if the lights lighting up the downtown streetscape was gone, people would miss.
Oh, definitely.
Honestly, mm-hmm. because there's something about it.
There is.
That, you know, that makes it special.
I get calls. I've had a couple calls up at the chamber office from mm-hmm. other communities that say, oh, you know, I think it was Carlinville, the last one I had. They said, you know, we want to have this in our town. How did you go about doing that? So, I mean, other people notice when they drive through.
An electrician? And a lot of lights.
Yeah, and a lot of money.
and a lot of donations.
A lot of donations.
We've got a couple minutes left on the show. Zach, Leslie, it's always a pleasure having you here. Let's talk a little bit. You mentioned Stamp Out Cancer again. Process is going on with that.
Yeah, and I also want to bring up again the bone marrow registry drive.
Because
we are offering an iPad now. So those that show up that day and sign up to get on the registry, you're entered in to win an iPad. We're just upping the stakes to try to get people in the doors to get on the registry. But I also want to stress that to not take this lightly, that don't just show up just because there's an iPad, but this is something that I want you to take to heart that you're signing up to save someone's life. And also the week before, on June 7th, mm-hmm. up at the Orpheum in Hillsboro, we're going to be showing Monty Python and the Holy Grail, 10:30 a.m. Bring out your dead. it's just a $5 donation to get it and see this awesome movie. We have it on Blu-ray, but we're going to be showing it on the big screen to get to see Monty Python and the Holy Grail and hopefully raise a few more bucks for it.
How'd you come up with that idea?
Well, because I was there the week before, Cordy Bolton was showing a Metallica concert, and he invited just some of his friends. He rented the Orpheum out, and when I was leaving there, I'm like, wow, that was really cool. I'm like, we could use this as a fundraiser, and instantly, first thing I thought of was Monty Python and the Holy Grail, a timeless classic that I don't know if it's ever been shown at the Orpheum.
I've never seen it.
I have seen parts of it.
I have not seen it.
This is a better reason for you to go then. It is considered one of the funniest movies of all time.
I think on your Facebook thing I said maybe.
No, there's no maybe. You will be there. I will drag you there.
I got to check with my wife first.
She's coming too.
Okay, well.
We're going to fill that place. And we're going to bring coconuts, empty coconuts, and clack them together. And we're going to get the quest for the grail, and it's going to be great.
And that's one good thing about them with the new projection system. If the chamber wanted to do Pretty in Pink or something like that, and you've got the DVD, it's easy to...
A bunch of things have already been going through my head about what we can use the Orpheum for, because they're great people. I mean, Sammy and Carrie was one of our dancers, and they like doing fun things like this.
Was it true he did the lift, the Dirty Dancing lift?
Yeah, they did.
Weren't you there?
I was in spirit. I was there, but I was...
I'm hoping to actually go get the DVDs produced. My goal was to go get them produced today. In Springfield, I have the master copy, and to get that produced, but we'll see.
I saw a picture of events, I may not
be making it up there today, but
I saw a picture of Carrie doing. It looked like he was.
Yep, they did the lift.
The lift.
Yeah,
they were actually. You know, this year we did something different at Stay on Cancer. You know, of course we have our winners, Earl and Nancy Flack, but we also, as a team, chose the best dancers.
Right.
And Sam and Carrie won that. They were fantastic.
Outstanding. And it's hard to believe that'll be right around the corner, too. That'll be here before you know it.
We'll see that poker tournament. And then hopefully another float in Old Settlers. And keep it going all year.
Constant project.
It's always moving and a-shaking, right?
Moving and a-shaking.
But during the summer, it's all summer concert series. I love this time of year.
One thing you're not having this year, and I kind of noticed, Montgomery County has talent.
Yeah, no, we actually didn't bring that back this year. It's just more of that we ran into so many regional artists that, I mean, nothing gets the bands around here, but we had our budget's kind of like constantly growing, and we were talking about some artists, and we didn't think we can get them all. So we always contact the artists, and we actually end up getting all the ones that we wanted. It just kind of just worked out that way. But, yeah, we had a problem last year. The Montgomery County's Got Talent. We didn't get anyone to sign up. We were begging people the year before. I mean, we used to get a lot of people. Then it went down to a few. And then last year we had no one sign up. So we just didn't know if it was really worth our time to keep begging people to show up for that.
It's better to have an act that you know will be there and draw a crowd than...
Yeah.
And that's
I mean, we could always do that for another event. But this right here, we're just wanting to showcase some bands that you normally don't see around here.
Zach, Leslie, it's always a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for coming in and talking with us about the Summer Concert Series out in Hillsboro. It's the first Friday of June, July, August, and September. So out at the campground. And thank you again for your time. And I look forward to our chats in the future.
Thank you, Mal.
And that's going to do it for the Wednesday Talk Show. Until then, we'll talk to you next week. So long.